Hi, everyone. Josh Jason here of Josh Jason's Punch-Out, welcoming you back to another edition of JMPO Classic here on WrestlingObserver.com. I'm a writer, editor, and podcaster for the website, and this series takes a look back at my time at the WGAM MMA show, a weekly radio show I did for ESPN New Hampshire, WGAM, back in 2011 and 2012. You can kind of hear a little bit about the history of that if you'd like, going back to episode one. Just go back in the archives and you'll find that. If you have any problems finding that, just tweet me, Josh Nason, J-O-S-H-N-A-S-O-N, and I'll hook you up. So, this edition of the show that comes to you from the past, if I can find where I had my notes, June 9th, 2011. So this happened just over a week ago. And this was one of my, to date, one of my favorite episodes that we did. We did a great interview. I think it was a great interview with Kenny Florian. He was getting ready to fight at UFC 131 against Diego Nunez. And in the co-main event, imagine that. This is 6 years ago. And that was a fight that was actually a co-main event fight. Fighting in Vancouver, Canada, JDS versus Shane Carwin was the main event because Brock Lesnar obviously got hurt or the diverticulitis took over again. He had to be pulled. Shane Carwin was put in that fight in that that role instead. So Kenny was getting ready for that. We talked a lot about that fight that he was moving to featherweight for the first time. So it was his fourth weight class. So we discussed a lot about that whole process, how we got to ESPN's MMA Live. That was obviously a going show at that time. It was a really good interview, one that I thought was fun and one that kind of was the peak of our interviews at that point. I think this was like the fifth show we had did, so kind of go from there. But I talked about the process in getting that interview, and to this day I cannot remember what the issue was. I think there was just scheduling concerns or problems. We went live on the air because it was an actual radio station, and there was just all these issues, I think, with booking him and all this stuff. And, regardless, we were able to get him, and it was a really fun interview, so check that out. This was a very news-heavy edition of the show, and this is, again, when I was listening back to this, this is how much the sport has changed and UFC has changed, and that Dana White used to do these press conferences and scrums and announce all this stuff. So on this edition, we talk about how Dana 6 years ago last week, and again, June 9th, 2011, he announced in one day, this is one day, main events would become five-round fights, regardless of whether there was a title fight or not. The UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones versus Rampage Jackson was a booked fight and announced for Denver. Nick Diaz, it was announced that he was going to drop the Strikeforce welterweight championship. So if you remember last week, we were talking about how GSP versus Nick Diaz is going to be a fight coming up in Las Vegas, originally announced. And now there's a question, title versus title. One of the titles was completely going away. And also, how timely, the UFC announced that the flyweight division was going to be coming to their organization. They had no specific plans for it, but they had talked about it and finally made it official. Again, so coincidental and ironic, really, considering what's going on between the UFC and Demetrius Johnson just 6 years later. Also, we talked about there was a lot of rumors about UFC buying G4. And we also talked, in this discussion, we talked about the difficulty in starting a network and how WWE was looking to try to get on actually a cable network and develop their own stuff. Kind of fun to listen to that, considering where we are now with everything being these over-the-top services and so on. It's crazy stuff, and obviously the Florian discussion, and we talk a little bit about UFC 131. Some very interesting guys and interesting names making their debuts on that show are fighting lower down the card. Donald Cerrone made his UFC debut on that show, and also a guy I called Chris Weidman. Weidman, I believe, is how I pronounced it, so that stood out to me as well. So without further ado, I'm going to step aside here. We'll get to the June 9th, 2011 edition of the WGAM MMA show, featuring myself, co-host PJ Hewitt, and a great interview with Kenny Florian. Here we go. A major change to how UFC books their main events. A champion vacates their title, and we talk to UFC veteran and Boston's favorite son, Kenny Florian. It's Thursday, June 9th, and the MMA show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM The Game, is live. What's going on, everyone? Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt. We have one of the most packed shows, not just in our history, but I'd say in the history of the world tonight.
A lot of breaking news this week, and especially today.
Today.
With the press conference for UFC 131.
I saw PJ a few hours ago, and I joked as I left. I said, well, I think there's always going to be some big news. They do it just for us. And once again, PJ, we have some what?
We have some breaking news, Josh.
We have some what?
We have some breaking news, Josh. I don't have it set up.
You always say it. I've talked to fans on the street, and it's one of their favorite.
You know what we have, Josh?
What? Yes. We have a crapload of breaking news. All right, let's stop joking.
Put it lightly.
Around. Yeah, we have a ton of stuff to talk about tonight, so we'll get into it. Kenny Florian comes up, second break. And that's going to be really awesome. So, yeah, UFC 131 taking place this weekend. We'll talk about that in our final segment because Dana White did a press conference today and broke just all kinds of news and nuggets and all stuff. Let's get right into it. All main events from here on out, all main events will be five-round fights. Now, before, it was just title fights. Now, it's all fights. All main event fights will be five rounds each. And that obviously changes some things for a lot of people. Let me just clarify this real quick.
So back up a little bit.
So this will start after the, this will not include Rampage. Rashad Evans and Phil Davis. It does not include that because the bout agreements are already signed. But effective immediately, all main events will be five-round fights. My initial thought is I don't like it. And the reason I don't like it is I always kind of like that significance of championship fights having that extra feel. Granted, there's a belt involved, but there's also it's five rounds. There's the championship rounds. I have that mystique stuck in my head, I guess. And I've sat with this for a little over an hour or so from when they announced it, and I still I don't initially love it. And another reason. A lot of people love it because they're like, oh, we'd love to see who would want to see X fight go five rounds and this fight and this fight. But there's a lot of bad fights that people would not want to go five rounds. You know what I mean?
There's Matt Hamill Rampage.
Exactly. I would not want to see that.
Frank Mir, Mirko Krokop.
Yeah.
Well, even though that fight ended in a knockout, but
still,
it was 2.5 rounds of really nothing.
There's going to be a lot of instances where there's going to be lackluster main events. And Nate Marquardt and Yushin Okami, which happened last year. That was another one. It's kind of like, eh. And there, with fight nights and, you know, on Versus and all this, there are certain events that just don't need a five.
It doesn't warrant it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you and I were talking about before, and you may want to talk about now, is that there didn't seem to be a full outcry for this.
You didn't hear a lot of people clamoring that these main events had to be five rounds. You didn't hear, at least I didn't hear that. I mean, the UFC might be hearing a lot of other things from fans with the feedback from that they're getting. But to me, it doesn't really make sense. It's the reason they're the championship rounds. They're supposed to be those extra rounds that that a fighter prepares for, has to train for, has to be in condition for. Now, if he's a main event, he has to do that as well. So I guess maybe that's what they're hoping for, to get these guys used to fighting five-round fights. Because the guys that are main eventers that aren't championship fights, they're close. They're one, two, maybe at the most three fights away from a championship. I would say closer to just one or two fights away from fighting for a championship or a title, a contender spot. So maybe that's another line of thinking, that they're trying to get these guys in shape for when they do get a chance to fight for the title.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't think that's the main reason. I think it's a reason.
Right. I think most highly trained guys that are in a main event position are going to be well-conditioned. The ideas are going to be well-conditioned enough to go.
You'd think that, but there's a lot of guys out there that you see them fight, even if they're in great shape. They couldn't go five rounds. They couldn't go those extra 10 minutes.
So that happened today, and again, that takes effect immediately. It obviously does not include this Saturday's event Rampage or Rashad and Phil Davis. God, I keep forgetting that one. Does not include those. Anything else, it does. And
well, I think you want to keep saying Rampage because there's some news about him as well announced today.
Good segue.
Yes.
Good segue. Rampage Jackson has his next fight set.
Yeah.
John Jones has his next fight set. And what a coincidence. They're fighting each other. They are main eventing UFC 135 in September. That'll be in Denver, Colorado. That's nowhere around here, but you'll still be able to see it on
TV. The first ever event in Denver proper, as the press release said today.
Ah, interesting. So it'll be for the UFC 205-pound championship. And what I think is interesting about this, obviously this has been rumored for about a week and essentially announced by both guys. This will come a month after the Rashad Phil Davis fight, which I'm brain cramping on all night long. So ideally, I would think that the winner of that fight would obviously be, I would assume, right in line for potentially the winner of this fight, which everyone's hoping would be Rashad versus Jones. But Rashad versus Rampage for the title on the line could be very interesting. There's a lot of interesting things that are going to come out of this, I think.
Yeah, and I really think going forward, obviously, there's some months before it'll be decided, but I think going forward, I think John Jones can beat Rampage. I think he will beat Rampage, and I think Rashad Evans will beat Phil Davis. So I think we still can get that Rashad-John Jones fight that started to really heat up before the injury to John Jones's hand, kind of just sidetrack that. And again, Rashad misses his championship chance. But all he needs to do is win one more fight, and he'll be there again.
I'm surprised you say that about Phil Davis, because you guys are boys.
I don't know. I think Phil Davis didn't like me too much.
Oh, who doesn't like you? Come on.
Apparently, I think Phil Davis. I don't think he liked the line of questioning I had. I wasn't hitting him hard with anything, but I don't think that he has. Not that he's not talented, but the experience level, I think, with Rashad is just a little bit too much. Kind of like what it was to some extent with Rampage and Matt Hamill. The experience level with Rampage was just so much better, and it showed. I think that's going to happen with Rashad and Phil Davis.
It's a big jump. Big jump, but we'll see if he can make it. So again, so those are two. We still have more news. This is incredible. So five-round main events. Jones, Rampage for the title. We have a champion dropping their title. And I didn't realize this till about 10 minutes before we started recording the show. Nick Diaz, the Strikeforce 170-pound champion, a man that has had no problem defending that title, partly because the competition there is not good, or not as good as it should be. And if you're familiar with this sport at all, which I'm guessing you probably are, you know that GSP and Nick Diaz are signed for later this year in October for GSP's 170-pound championship. So we actually asked on our last episode, what happens to the Strikeforce title? Is that online as well? Is Diaz just going to go back and defend that? What if he loses this whole thing? Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
There will be no title unification.
No, because Nick Diaz has vacated the 170-pound championship, and there's going to be a I didn't even look to see if there's going to be a tournament. Let me see here. Strikeforce is going to crown a new champion, and no tournament, two fighters are going to fight for the belt. So pretty straightforward there. Dana White said that Diaz can go back to Strikeforce if he wants to fight there, but he doesn't have to, which means
he's a UFC fighter.
Yeah. Diaz is unofficially left Strikeforce, which is no big surprise. The competition there at 170 is very light. The guys, there's Diaz and then there's everyone else. There was one fight there that was of interest, which was Tyron Woodley. But even then, Woodley's still kind of a prospect. So again, you kind of see the UFC-ication of Strikeforce happening, and this is going to be happening more and more and more. People should not be surprised about this. And again, these two organizations are going to merge at once that Showtime deal is done. And this is another just another nod towards that. And that's not a bad thing, but I wish they would stop pretending like it's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's a couple guys that you've heard of that Diaz has beaten recently within the past few years, against an aged Frank Shamrock back in 2009, mm-hmm. KJ Nunes back in October 2010, and then, of course, the infamous Paul Daly, who was cut from the UFC for making some poor decisions after a fight, or a poor decision after a fight.
Yep.
And took a swing at his opponent and said, and to Dana White, quote, he will never fight in the UFC again. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to him when that Strikeforce deal is all done.
Yeah, I think actually you bring up Diaz Daly, the first that one round. Go find it on YouTube. That was an awesome 5 minutes between those guys. That was, I guess, it'll end up being Diaz's likely last fight in Strikeforce. But that was awesome. But Diaz, this is. Again, it just there's no reason for him to go back. He's kind of evolved from that. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure who they would have in to fight for the 170-pound championship. So I guess we'll kind of see where that goes. But a champion, and I will tell you this, it won't be the last champion that is going to leave there, as I think Gil Melendez is probably going to be the next one to vacate after his next title defense. So we have even more news. We're not even close.
There's more, no.
More news. More news for your listeners at home.
There's a new division coming into the UFC.
Yes, it is the 350-pound super mega heavyweight division.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. No, it's much lighter. So
wait, real quick. What was that guy from way back, original UFC? I'm blanking on that. The huge former ex-sumo wrestler. I'm blanking on the name, though.
Yeah, he was like 400 pounds or something like that. So
he'd be great.
He would be great. However,
not a super heavyweight division?
No. It's the summertime, so people have to think about slimming down. You're getting out to the beach. 125 pounders. Once you lose some weight and get to 125 and get in there and fight. Flyweights, 125 pounders are coming. There's no definitive date for when that's going to start. They just announced this today that they're going to start building for this. By the end of the year is kind of the idea. They're not going to do a champion right away. They're going to let the...
No, they're going to bring guys in and let them fight it out for it.
Which is very smart because it's going to let people kind of understand who these people are. There's not a lot of 125 pounders that I'm familiar with. There are obviously guys around the world that fight, but they're mostly smaller organizations.
I couldn't name one right now.
Right. There's an organization. I was just reading a story. Itachi Fights, which is a organization out of California, has a lot of 125 pounders, and there's a few other smaller groups that do that try to specialize in that. But that'll be something that you could see guys obviously cut from 135 to get down there. And Demetrius Johnson, who recently beat Miguel Torres, is a guy they've always talked about. He'd be dominant at 125, and it looks like he may get a shot if he wants it. No comment.
Keep going. I was trying to look up some information here on some flyweights, but
I stunned PJ into silence because there's so much.
Wikipedia is great. I love this list of. I just clicked on the link. It said list of current flyweight champions in MMA, and they don't list any. It brings you right to list of champions, but there's no flyweights there, so there might not be any. So at least notable flyweight champions.
One of the things, actually,
because Wikipedia doesn't have it, so it must be true.
Exactly. So one of the things you actually were saying before I thought was interesting is the UFC essentially, with eventually another championship created, is they want every single event to have a title fight on it.
I think so. I think this is another reason that they would bring in another division, because they're, like you said, there's not a lot of guys. And I did find some here. Yoshihiro, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, and Mamoru Yamaguchi.
Awesome.
They're the only two guys that have Wikipedia pages, and they are flyweight champions. The first one for Shooto, and the other one for KOTC.
King of the Cage.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So there are definitely guys that exist. And again,
there's not a lot of them. So this is something they're going to have to build. And I think possibly two, maybe three Tufts from now, you might see the flyweight, the Ultimate Fighter, to just try to get some guys in.
Very possibly. But where will Tuff be seen?
I don't know if Tuff will be seen on Spike TV.
Our final kind of news bit. This wasn't announced today, but this has been kind of an ongoing story. And Spike and the UFC apparently are going to part ways. It seems to be the kind of the consensus right now. And UFC is hot rumored to be potentially going to purchase G4 Networks, which is known as a video game network. And the price I heard today was potentially $600 million to buy 60%. I don't know if potentially $600 million is for the complete package or not. Maybe they've gone to 100%. I'm not really sure. I'm not that familiar.
Seems a lot of money for that network.
It does seem like a lot. But I saw that today. So potentially they would move everything there. I don't know if it'd be renamed the UFC Network. I assume that would be if you pay that much money.
I would hope so.
And the idea is that they would, all their programming would go there. The Ultimate Fighter would go there. They would still keep their contract with Versus, because Versus is part of NBC, Comcast universe, which also G4 is part of. So it seems like those two sides are going to kind of get in bed with each other, I guess.
Yeah. And they only fight four times a year on Versus. It's something like that. It's not a lot of fights.
It's minimal. Correct.
Well, if they ended up turning it into a UFC network, I think that'd be great. It's great for the sport. It's something that we've been asking. I've talked to you a bunch of times about that. Why isn't there one already? It seems like a natural fit. And if they're able to do that, Dana White did come out and say today at the press conference that, you know, there is no deal set yet. You know, it's very hush hush.
Right.
But again, he's come out and said things before, and then a week later, things go the exact opposite.
Promoters do that?
I believe I've heard the rumor that they're good at doing that.
Huh. It's very tough to start a network, and the reason for that, or any evidence towards that is WWE. And they have their Classics On Demand channel. But they have talked about doing a network forever. And they have more, I mean, they have more content even than the UFC does. And they still haven't started. It's expensive and it's a big risk. However, in this growing universe, it's almost like you have to have your own thing if you have that much content. UFC has brand new content every single month, hours and hours, plus the Ultimate Fighter. They have this whole library of just huge events. They can do, obviously, specialty shows and things like that. It's possible.
Yeah, they own the libraries to Pride and WEC and,
good point.
And pretty soon Strikeface.
Yeah, absolutely. They do now.
No, they do now. They can run it now. So, okay. So,
I believe they have the tape library and whatever.
There you go. I mean, and there's and just Elite plenty
XC.
Of content.
Elite XC, there's old Affliction events. Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. So, whew. I'm tuckered out.
That is a lot of news.
That's a lot of breaking news, but I am going to get very excited because we're going to go to a break. After the break, UFC featherweight Kenny Florian is going to be on the line with us. You're listening to the MMA Show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, The Game. WGAM MMA Show, hot Thursday here in June, and it's going to be a hot Saturday night in Vancouver. And we are talking on the line right now with a man that makes New England proud every time he fights. If you're into the UFC, into MMA, you definitely know this man. Happy to welcome to the MMA Show, Kenny Florian is on the line with us. Kenny, how's it going?
Doing good. I thought it was hot Thursday because I was on the other line.
Well, I think we'll have to change that then. Hot Kenny Florian. I like it. So Kenny is, if you guys have been under a rock, haven't been paying attention, this Saturday night, Kenny Florian takes on Diego Nunez in essentially the co-main event of UFC 131 in Vancouver. And what's the scene in O Canada right now?
The weather's not so good. I think New England definitely has better weather right now. It's a little cold, cloudy. But the Bruins are coming into town tonight and playing tomorrow. So I'm sure it's even gloomier, the fact that the Bruins won last night.
Now, I know you're a Boston sports fan. I've seen you with the Red Sox hat before, and you're into the scene. You get it. It's kind of cool that you have me going to Vancouver at the same time that the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup Finals are going for a title, and you guys are all coming to town. It's an invasion of Boston.
It's pretty cool. The only problem is, my life's on the line over here. I'm one guy from Boston, you know, against the whole city of Vancouver. So if I make it out of here alive, I'll be a lucky man.
Well, if you see some black and gold, just run towards it. I think
exactly.
I think they'll protect you. So let's talk about the fight on Saturday. Diego Nunez, and this is your debut at 145 pounds. This is your fourth different weight class you fought in the UFC.
Yep.
I think, this time of year, a lot of people are trying to lose weight and so on. You're making it look easy through the years, just dropping down in weight.
Yeah, the first two weight classes, I really fought up at 185. I was around a chubby 174 pounds, maybe 176 pounds, fighting at 185, and everybody cuts down in weight from over 200 pounds. So I was fighting at 185, really being a 155 pounder. So it wasn't like I was a true 85er cutting down in weight. I was fighting up weight class at 85, fighting up at 170, really. And 55 was really where I made my home, where I was most comfortable. And here we are fighting at 145, yet another challenge, and that's what motivates me.
So talk about that decision, because, I think so many people these days hear about, someone dropping a weight, and it's almost like it just kind of passes by. They don't really think about it. But, I mean, you've made this decision essentially, three different times now to drop down every time. That decision, as far as like what goes in your head, what at what point is it like I get to drop down, or is it someone else's suggestion? How does that work?
There was a couple things. I was coming back from an injury, a knee injury, I just started thinking about the possibility of fighting at 145 after a fight was proposed to me against the 145 champion. I was going to fight him at 155 pounds. He decided not to come up. And I just started thinking, could I go down to his weight class? Could I be competitive at that weight? Could I make it? Started talking to coaches and a few nutritionists, started interviewing them. And, the consensus was that I could make it. And, hey, if you can make it, why not try it? I really didn't have to lose a lot of weight to get down to 55. Let's try 45.
So as we talk today, where are you at weight-wise?
I'm just several pounds away, maybe like 7 pounds away, so okay. Pretty close.
Have you found the cut or found the process good? What you expected? Worse? Or what's the story?
I honestly thought it was going to be tougher. I really did. I thought it was going to be tougher. It's been smooth. A big credit goes out to all my team of coaches, my brother Keith, Faraz Sahabi, Jonathan Chamber, Kyle Holland, and my nutritionist, George Lockhart. They've all just done a phenomenal job. This has been the best training camp of my life, and I really thought it would be the hardest. I really thought the last month would be brutal. My workouts would be terrible, low energy. I've had the best training camp I've ever had.
So you mentioned the knee injury. You've been off for a while. You fought last August in 2010 against Gray Maynard. So you had the knee injury. I think there might have been some other nagging injuries. I mean, what have you been up to essentially almost for the last year?
You know, really recovering and taking care of the situation over with my school, Flowing Martial Arts Center in Brookline, Massachusetts, that I own with my brother Keith. So taking care of business things, you know, doing ESPN's MMA Live on ESPN2 and staying busy with traveling and seminars and training, really. I've been training extremely hard. My ability to take a workload for a training camp has been insane. So each camp has got better, but this last camp I really was able to put in an insane amount of hours.
Talking to Kenny Florian here on the WGAM MMA show. PJ Hewitt and Josh Nason here. Kenny, talk about your opponent, Diego Nunez. 16-1 going into this. He's very accomplished. How do you think you match up against him?
You know, one of the top fighters in the world at 145 pounds, very fast, very dangerous striker. And, you know, I think I match up very well against him. I feel I have him in all areas, but we're going to find out. I think he's most dangerous on the feet. You know, on the ground, we haven't seen too much of him. So I really want to test him everywhere just pressure him and see what I can do. I'm excited to go in there and compete, man.
So, you know, you're talking about Nag Nunez. I mean, you've been on ESPN MMA Live, you mentioned. You're used to, you know, the promotion game and all that. So a mainstream fan that has never heard of Diego Nunez, how would you best describe them to them?
This is a kid who's very dangerous. He throws crazy kicks, very exciting to watch. Non-stop action. He goes forward. I go forward. We're both aggressive fighters, and that's why I really believe. I've been saying this all week. I think we're going to get fight of the night.
So a few more questions here. You know, talk about the Ultimate Fighter. That season just wrapped up. Many people know you're an alumni of that show, and it seems like, I don't want to make you feel old here, but it seems like forever that show was on, and you were on that show at 185 pounds. I mean, it just seems like a different era of MMA, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You know, every time it evolves, this sport is moving so fast. You know, all the guys are getting so good. They're all getting better, and it's just, it's awesome to see. And that's what the sport's all about, you know, and there's even so much more potential for it to grow. And it's great to be a part of that, you know, to see it grow like it has. It's awesome, and it's only going to continue.
And we mentioned that you are an analyst on MMA Live on ESPN. I think the hardest part about that show is just trying to figure out when it's on. But we're always happy to see when you're on it. How did you end up getting that gig? Did they approach you, or was that something that you were always interested in, being an analyst?
You know, I graduated from Boston College with a degree in communications, and they actually happened to find me and brought me out for an interview in Bristol and told me about this show they wanted to do. And honestly, I was a little sad because I said, you know, how am I going to do this show and train at the same time? You know, it was such a good opportunity. I just couldn't pass it up. We started off being on the internet. We had a lot of views, a lot of followers and guys on the internet watching us. And here we are on ESPN2, getting pushed around a little bit on the network, you know, with different time slots. But hey, we're there nonetheless. We still ask for everyone's support and hope that people continue to watch us.
So I'm going to ask you to analyze something here. Now, I'm going to read over this list. The guys you have fought, and this is an incredible list, my man. Joe Lozon, Roger Huerta, Joe Stevenson, BJ Penn, Clay Guida, Takanori Gomi, Gray Maynard. That's, you know, like your last almost 10 fights.
Yeah, you know, it's cool. I really see it as just an awesome blessing that I've been able to compete against some great, great fighters. And that's always what's motivated my career, is to be able to test myself. I have it here with Diego Nunez, another great fighter. I love what I do and feel blessed that I've had the opportunities that I've had.
What's been your favorite fight to date, and what's been your toughest fight to date? And they might be the same one.
Let's see. I don't know, you know, about my favorite fight or my toughest fight. You know, probably my toughest fight was against BJ Penn. You know, my favorite fight. I don't know. I really don't have a favorite fight. I hate watching me fight, you know, to be honest. I go back and I'm like, I should have done this, should have done that. But right now I'm kind of at the point in my career, I just kind of look ahead and forget about my wins, forget about my losses, and just try to look what's in front of me.
So we're here with Kenny Florian fighting this Saturday night, UFC 131, against Diego Nunez. A couple more questions. Kenny, now being a New England guy, being a Boston guy, you also, I believe, have some New Hampshire ties as well. Is that right?
I do. I do. Actually, my brother Edgar, my oldest brother, lives in New Hampshire. So, it's cool. Actually, I go there pretty often for some family functions and stuff. And, all my nephews and nieces that he has as kids are over there. And it's cool. We're spreading out all over New England now.
I like it. So we broadcast out of Nashua, and we're into New Hampshire. We live here. We love it. What do you like best about New Hampshire? What do you do when you come here?
Well, you know, it's funny. We used to. My dad used to have a summer house. My parents had a summer house out in the woods up there, and we used to go up a lot. You know, during the summers and hang out. I just love, you know, being outdoors, being by the water, being by the, by the lakes up there. It's an awesome feeling, just that quietness. I live in a very quiet town outside the city in Boston, now, and I miss it. I love being in the woods, going for walks in the woods and being out there and seeing the wildlife. It's awesome.
Very good. Kenny Florian, before we wrap up, give you a chance to plug any social media sites, sponsors, anything like that. Floor is yours.
Thank you, man. I encourage everybody to check out my website, kennyflorian.com and florianmartialarts.com, to check me out on Twitter. It's at Kenny Florian. So follow what I'm doing and send me some tweets.
Now, but wait a minute, Kay. You're not mentioning the Ken Flo assistant Twitter account. What's going on with that?
You can definitely follow that account as well.
He's like your BFF. He's always around you no matter what. You're a superstar.
He's actually massaging my feet right now.
The things that are revealed on the WGAM MMA show. Kenny Florian, best of luck. He fights this Saturday night, UFC 131 against Diego Nunez. Support this man, Kenny Florian. Kenny, thanks for joining us.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
Great interview, if I do say so myself.
Well done, Josh.
Thank you very much. We had some good questions there, too.
Yeah.
I wish I could tell people the story behind that interview that was
the Ken Flo assistant Twitter, that one?
So I mentioned that at the end. If you go to twitter.com, K-E-N-F-L-O assistant, I don't think it's his real assistant, but it's basically a guy that pretends like he is the assistant to basically the president of the United States. It's quite unique. I'll put it that way. So go check out Kenny on Twitter. He's very active, Ken Flo assistant. And yeah, he's a New England guy. That's why I asked about the New Hampshire tie, because I know he's got some family ties here. And you never know where you may see Kenny around. And, you know, don't mess with him. He'll cut you up with an elbow or submit you.
Razor sharp elbows, as yes. Joe Rogan likes to say. And told the media today, and I guess the city of Vancouver, go Bruins.
Good.
During the press conference. So if he makes it out of there live, it'll be good to see him on MMA Live. I don't think he'll be on this week's show, though.
No, I would think not. But hopefully, if he was to walk out in a Boston hat, could be even great.
Just a Bruins jersey. Just walk out in a Bruins jersey, just get everybody in Vancouver to hate him.
Oh, that's how great sports are. Those guys happen to all be in the same city at the same time. I sense good things for Kenny Florian this Saturday night.
I think so, too. I mean, he's got a distinctive size advantage now that he's cut down to 145. It'll heighten reach as well.
We'll talk more about that fight and preview UFC 131 after the break. You're listening to the MMA show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, The Game. Fitting music coming back from our second break. Final segment of the show, the MMA show at WGAM. If you've missed the show so far, shame and embarrassment should come upon your life. We talked about a amazing amount of breaking news. I almost swore, but that's probably not a good idea in live air. Huge amount of breaking news at the beginning. There is all kinds of UFC changes now. Some for the better, some for the but I guess we'll get used to them. Five round main events in all events now. Nick Diaz is dropping a Strikeforce title. Rampage and Rich and John Jones, all this stuff. If you ever want to go back and listen to the show, you can go to WGAMthegame.com. Look under shows, scroll down. There's MMA show right there, and you'll see the archive of this show and all our past shows. We've talked to Rick Story, Phil Davis,
Rick Hahn.
We talked to a new fighter every single week, and we got some good interviews coming up in the upcoming weeks. Next week, we're going to preview World Championship Fighting. And we're actually working on finalizing details now with a couple of guests there. 2 weeks from now, we're going to be talking to Bellator CEO Bjorn Rebney as they get ready for their summer season. So that should be really fun. And we talked to Kenny Florian tonight during our second segment. So shame on you if you missed it. However, good for you. We're good people. And you can go back and listen to the show. So let's talk about this Saturday, UFC 131 emanating from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. An event that was supposed to have Brock Lesnar on top. So the rest of the card was not really filled out with superstars. However, Brock is out. So now it's Junior Dos Santos versus Shane Carwin, the winner, getting a shot at Cain Velasquez in approximately 4 to 5 months, according to Dana White, for the UFC Heavyweight Championship. Dos Santos, Carwin, PJ, what do you say?
Both fighters 12-1, both guys knockout artists, especially Shane Carwin. I believe most, if not all of his fights, I believe all of his wins have come by either knockout or TKO,
yes,
correct?
Correct.
So he doesn't like going the distance. It's his first fight since last year when he lost to Brock Lesnar. His conditioning, or lack thereof, showed through a little bit after a big flurry in the first round. Wasn't able to finish Brock, though he came damn close to finishing him. Apparently he has cut down a little bit, or I shouldn't say cut down weight, but he always has to cut down weight because he's one of those guys that fights right at 265, has mm-hmm. to cut weight to get there. But apparently his conditioning has been improved. It's something that he has worked on. Junior Dos Santos, of course, was the coach of this year's Ultimate Fighter. Another guy that has really heavy hands. His last win against Roy Nelson, where he couldn't quite finish Roy Nelson, but he's got a really tough head. Mm-hmm. He's a really hard guy to knock out. I think this is the only fight so far that I haven't really made up my mind yet who's going to win.
I'm putting on the spot.
This is if I have to go.
But where would people find your prediction then?
You can find the prediction at wgammma.blogspot.com. Wow. That'll be up tomorrow.
Okay.
But I'll give you both sides of the fence right now. If this fight goes longer than the first round, it favors Junior Dos Santos. I think his conditioning is a little bit better, and he will be able to last a little bit longer. If the fight ends quickly, it's going to be because Shane Carwin knocked him out.
Folks, I'm not going to waver. I have my pick right now because I know.
Good for you. I'm still thinking about it.
I know what you people pay for. You pay for here to hear predictions, and you're going to hear my prediction is Junior Dos Santos by second round TKO. Several reasons for that. I like Shane Carwin a lot. However, he hasn't fought in over a year. He's coming off neck surgery, and it's been a long time. You know what I mean? He's a little bit older, and I think all those add up to. It's just not going to be a good night for him. I think Dos Santos is ready. He's obviously very fresh because he hasn't fought in a long time either. However, no surgeries. He's just kind of been chilling out. I think he was ready for Brock. His camp seems to think that Carwin's going to be an easier fight than Brock. So it's not like you're fighting a completely different fighter. You're fighting a guy that is just a little bit smaller but still brings a lot of the same pedigree. I think Dos Santos is ready. I think he's ready to claim, or I guess reclaim, his number one contender spot that he had before Velasquez got hurt. So Junior Dos Santos by second round TKO, that is my pick for the main event this Saturday night.
Yeah, and our next fight, the co-main event, the guy we just talked to, Kenny Florian versus Diego Nunez.
I'm going to pick Kenny Florian by unanimous decision. I think it's going to be a very good fight. Nunez is a tough dude, as Kenny talked about. Kenny's a tough dude. You mentioned the weight cut before, and he's going to go in there bigger. I think, yeah, he'll make the 145, but I think he'll obviously gain some weight overnight, probably enter in there maybe like around 155, maybe 160, I'm not really sure. And how he handles that swing is going to be the biggest part of that.
Yeah, and I'm going to take Kenny Florian too. Again, it's tough to go against the guys that we have on that give us a few minutes and talk to us. But yeah, I think his size and his skill will be able to match up against the skill of Diego Nunez. And I think I'll take Kenny Florian as well.
But Nunez, this is a big spot for him. If he pulls off a big win against Kenny Florian, he puts himself right in the conversation for a shot at Jose Aldo. And also, as does Kenny Florian.
Yes, as I say, UFC President Dana White has said as much, that if he wins this, that he, and especially if he puts up a good performance, he'll get a title shot.
So my pick is Kenny Florian by unanimous decision. It sounds like PJ agrees as well. Third fight of the night, Damian Maia versus Mark Munoz. Munoz, known for his wrestling, known for getting knocked out by Mark Hamill. Does Mark Hamill, now I'm saying it, Matt Hamill.
Matt Hamill.
Oh, my God.
Not Star Wars Mark Hamill.
No. Mark Munoz, Damian Maia. Maia, obviously a Brazilian jiu-jitsu ace, also known for one of the most boring fights of all time against Anderson Silva in Abu Dhabi. I believe UFC 117 was the call letters on that. Maia, Munoz, what do you think?
I think Mark Munoz has this. I don't think Damian Maia, he's has a couple fights in a row since his last loss to Anderson Silva, but they really haven't been against anybody you've ever heard of, or if you've heard of them, that you look at their records and look at the guys they fought previously. Neither one of them are really impress you. Mark Munoz is a guy who's always in tremendous shape, and he always brings it, and I think Munoz gets it.
I will also pick Munoz by unanimous decision. I have not honestly not researched this fight too much. It's an interesting clash of styles. It could be really good or it could be really bad. So we'll see. I'm going to pick Munoz by unanimous decision in this one. Fourth fight on the main card. Two guys making their UFC debut. Dave Herman, who you've not heard of before. Nickname PJ is what?
I don't know. Please inform me.
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee. Dave Pee-wee Herman?
Yes, oh, Dave Pee-wee.
Very original.
Dave Pee-wee Herman. He is going to take on John Olav Einimo, who was Shane Carwin's original opponent.
I'll call him Jan. He's from Norway.
Okay.
I believe that's the correct pronunciation. They might call him John in the introductions, though. Who knows?
I'm American. I'm going to call him that.
All right.
So he's 6-1 making his UFC debut. He's been fighting for a long time, but doesn't have a lot of fights. He's been fighting since 2000. This is only going to be his eighth MMA fight. He is a submission guy, submission ace, fought in Abu Dhabi a lot against a guy in Herman, who is mostly known for knocking dudes out. 22 wins, 14 by knockout. So another good clash of styles here.
I believe that even Herman started his MMA career right around the same time as Einimo, right? Is that...
That's what we'll say.
Einimo, all right. And it's fought in 22 fights, at least according to my research. So I really think the experience comes through here, and I think Herman gets it.
Yeah, Herman's been fighting since 2006. A guy that's been, he's your traditional local circuit fighter, and he's finally getting a shot at the big stage. He's got some other shots. He's fought on there's a promotion called World Victory Road. He's fought in Bellator before. So it's both these guys' time to shine, so we'll see what happens. And opening up the pay-per-view, Donald Cerrone versus Wagner Rocha. Donald Cowboy Cerrone, as you might better well know him, his classic fights with Ben Henderson.
Yeah, some really good WEC fights.
Jamie Varner, really good dude. He's been on a roll. Wagner Rocha, another guy making his UFC debut. A lot of these guys recently were 13 UFC first-timers on the card this past weekend in The Ultimate Fighter. So a little side note there. Cowboy Cerrone, Wagner Rocha, what do you think?
The last couple times I've seen Cerrone, I'm not really big into we'll call it, for lack of a better term, gimmick with the cowboy. He comes out to the country music and he wears the big cowboy hat before and after his fights. But he's been very successful and is a little more experienced, and I think he gets the win.
I'm going to pick Cerrone. He's been on a roll, 3 straight wins, 2 straight by submission. I like him a lot. I think he's set for the UFC. He's a guy that's wanted to be there for a long time, and I think he's going to pull out by third round submission in what should be a very spirited match on the ground. Spike TV, plenty of free fights to see in this event. You have Sam Stout versus Eve Edwards, which a lot of people are excited about. Two veterans going at it lightweight, and also Jesse Bongfeld versus Chris Weidman in the middleweights. Chris Weidman made his UFC debut several months ago, a short notice fight, if I remember right. Don't know a lot about Jesse Bongfeld. Sam Stout versus Eze Edwards, guys that I put on Fight of the Night performance before, and are really kind of looking to avoid being called a gatekeeper, but this should be a pretty fun fight at 155.
I think so, and is it Stout I'm thinking of who had 3 straight Fight of the Nights?
Yeah, yeah, he was a guy that was making...
But with the exception of the last fight, but...
3 straight, yeah. Matt Wyman, Joe Lozon, and Jeremy Stevens. A nice run there in 2009 and 2010.
So this might be the fight of the night, again, these two guys. And Edwards is extremely experienced, close to like 60 fights, like 56, 57 fights, rather, something
like
that.
Yeah, his record going in, this is 40-16-1, last beat Cody McKenzie, where he won fight of the night and submission of the night. So he's back in the UFC finally after a long time out, so Good for him. So he's going to get a shot at Facebook and YouTube for the first time. You're actually going to be able to see all the cards on YouTube as well. There is a lot of talent in this undercard too. Christoph Szczesny is on the Facebook, is on the prelim card, which is incredible to me. Fighting against a guy, Mike Massenzio, who we just saw fight at Combat Zone.
Really?
Yeah, he was one of the guys that fought in the main event.
That's right.
Yeah, so Mike Massenzio, he was an injury replacement, I believe, again, going against Christoph.
Watch those guys. Those injury replacement guys always seem to...
Yeah, very true.
9 out of 10 times, I think, that I've seen it, those last-second injury replacement guys come out on top.
Very true. So Christoph Szczesny, Mike Massenzio, Nick Ring versus James Head. Two interesting names there. Dustin Poirier versus Jason Young. Joey Beltran versus Aaron Rosa. That should be a good slugfest. And Michihiro Omagawa versus Darren Elkins rounds out the card. That is not high on star power, but there's some pretty entertaining fights on that show.
You think so? I think the UFC will be looking to bounce back a little bit from the last two events. The pay-per-view event from a couple weeks ago, which wasn't really, you know, I don't think anyone really thought it was...
It didn't set anyone's PR world.
Yeah, and then coming off last week when there was a couple good fights to round out that card, but again, not overly impressive. Again, it was a free one. Maybe you weren't expecting it to be, but this one I think has the ever dangerous potential word to be a very good card.
Finishes out three straight weeks of UFC events.
I'm getting sick of writing previews and reviews for the blog.
Three straight weeks, but it's good because we actually get to talk to guys like Kenny Florian like we did tonight. And the next event will not be until, actually, we don't have to wait that long, a few weeks. June 26th, Nate Marquardt versus Rick Story.
That's going to be quick turnaround for Rick Story.
It's going to be a free event on Versus, first ever time in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So, UFC 131 comes up, and this Saturday night we'll be here, obviously, next week to review it. Boy, that was an exhausting show, but a very good show.
Yeah, a lot of news, great interview with Kenny Florian, and interesting to see this weekend with UFC 131.
Tell them where to find us, PJ.
Oh, you can follow the WGAM MMA show on WGAM_MMA on Twitter. You can also follow the blog at WGAMMMA.blogspot.com.
You can follow yours truly at JoshNason.com. I do work for Fight Magazine, Bloody Elbow, and WrestlingObserver.com. And I also watch the fights and all that good stuff, too. All kinds of big stuff. So, again, thank you to Kenny Florian, as always. Great guests. Go back and check out our archives anytime. Spread the news. Tell your friends. Big event coming up this weekend. The number one contender for the heavyweight championship will be determined. Should be a great fight. For PJ Hewitt, I'm Josh Nason. And until next time, keep your chin down and your hands up.